This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
This is Tim Russ, Lieutenant Commander Tuvok on Star Trek Voyager, and you're listening to Trek FM.
I think it's safe to say that no one on this crew has been more obsessed with getting home than I have. But when I think about everything we've been through together, maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. And if that journey takes a little longer, so we can do something we all believe in, I can't think of any place I'd rather be, or any people I'd rather be with.
To the journey.
You're here.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To the Journey. I'm your co-host, Zachary Frueling, and with me, as always, is...
Suzanne Williamson.
So today, we are going to be talking about one-off characters in Voyager that we wished had stayed aboard Voyager.
Do they have to be one-off, or could they maybe have been in, like, say, two episodes?
Oh, two episodes is fine.
Okay, good.
If it's a slightly recurring character, that's fine.
Good. I don't have to change my list.
We have no rules here on To the Journey. We have pirate codes.
We do have rules. We have the Delaney rule. The Delaney rule is when a two-part episode counts as one episode for our desert island picks.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, in that case, according to our own rule, two episodes count as one, and we're good to go. I feel like it would have been interesting if Voyager had gone this direction, because they started to go this direction at the very beginning with Neelix and Kes, picking up, you know, stray dogs from the Delta Quadrant, so to speak.
Strays along the way, yes.
Yeah, if Voyager continued to just pick up stragglers and strays along the way, constantly increasing the size of the crew, that would have been a really interesting approach. Every season you get a new character. That would have been really interesting.
My first one on my list isn't so much that they join Voyager, but they were pulled in by the caretaker. So they're kind of like Chakotay's ship was pulled in and Voyager was pulled in. Why wasn't Gull Evec's ship pulled in? Gull Evec would have been awesome.
Oh, that's really interesting.
Would have been awesome.
Can you imagine having a Cardassian on Voyager? Other than Seska, like, you know, a bona fide Cardassian part of the crew.
He wouldn't be on Voyager. His ship is still working. The only reason Chakotay doesn't have a ship is because he crashed it into the caretaker.
Right. So you so Gull Evec and his ship.
Yes.
And his crew, presumably.
It's some of them, yeah, because... You know, some of them died on the journey. And perhaps he knows about Seska being an undercover agent. How would all that play out? That would just be mind-blowing.
So would you rather the Voyager crew and the Cardassian crew start to get along? Would you like them to work together? Or would you like to see the Cardassians versus the Federation in the Delta Quadrant?
They're on different ships. Why would they get along? They're still Cardassians.
Share resources, that kind of thing.
With the Maquis on a Federation ship? I don't think so. I don't see that happening.
But if they're all stranded together, it could be like, you know, tie the boats together and stay afloat.
With the Cardassians, no. Never going to happen.
You don't see it?
No. Not at all.
Well, they kind of did that in Deep Space Nine, right? With the way in which the Federation and Cardassia started to work together towards the end of Deep Space Nine to fight the Dominion. So there's a little bit of precedent
was
in Deep Space Nine, but not early in Voyager, of course.
No, that's towards the end of Deep Space Nine, not at the very beginning of Voyager where the war is still going on. No.
So we'd have an ongoing Cardassian antagonist in all of Voyager.
Well, I don't know how long he would stick around. But it would have been an interesting thing to see.
You think he'd set a slightly different course and just go off on their own and we wouldn't see them very much?
They could have hooked up with some other ships. Maybe the Hirogen. I don't know. It just, yeah, they could have done something with Gull Evek. And especially if he knew that Seska was an undercover agent.
I hadn't thought to go all the way back to Caretaker to think who we might bring along with us. That's a really interesting idea. Good job, Suzanne. Good idea.
That was the first person I thought of. Immediately, I was like, Gull Evek! I want Gull Evek!
You know what else would have been interesting? This is along the same lines. You know when Deep Space Nine started, how Chief O'Brien left the Enterprise to go join Deep Space mm-hmm. Nine? When Voyager started, it would have been really interesting if someone from Deep Space Nine had left to go join Voyager, accidentally or otherwise. That would have been an interesting kind of parallel.
Well, initially it was supposed to be Worf that was going to join Voyager. But Michael Dorn said no when he opted for Deep Space Nine.
Is that true? I didn't know that.
That is true.
Wow, Worf on Voyager. I had never thought about this. How do I not know that?
I've read it a few different places in interviews and stuff. And I was like, oh, that's interesting.
What would Worf have done on Voyager? This is a little bit of a tangent from our topic, but would he have been first officer? Would he have been chief of security?
I have no idea.
What would Worf be good at on Voyager?
He could have been the chef and ambassador. He could have been Neelix. Just give him some fancy outfits.
Well, just like it's questionable that Janeway made Chakotay first officer instead of making Tuvok first officer, mm-hmm. Would she have made the same decision? Would she have made Worf first officer? Because Worf is, you know, plausibly qualified to be first officer. Or would she have gone the same route? Would she still have made Chakotay first officer and Worf would have something else to do, whatever it is? He gets to fire the phasers once in a while.
She still would have had to make Chakotay first officer because her main reason for doing that was to get the Maquis in line. So unless Worf is now on the Maquis ship, which I don't see, then he's not going to be first officer.
Transporter Chief Worf. Can you picture Worf just standing there bored all day in the transporter room waiting to beam someone?
Oh, poor Worf. Oh, at least he'd get a chair.
He'd probably like the quiet, actually.
Yeah, he would.
So that's an interesting idea, so...
But if they had Worf on the show, would they have also had B'Elanna? Or would that character have changed?
No, sure, they could totally keep B'Elanna. They can do Klingon stuff together.
I don't see B'Elanna doing Klingon stuff with Worf.
Not even a plate of gach.
No, she kind of shuns her Klingon heritage.
Oh, sure. But she warms up to it eventually.
Eventually.
Maybe Worf could draw out that side of her.
Possibly.
But Worf never was in Voyager, nope. So this is a little bit of a departure from our topic. But it's an interesting idea. I like thinking about it because there's no obvious fit for what Worf would do, so it's still kind of a fun thought experiment. Well, Suzanne, just like for you, it was easy to pick Gull Evek. For me, it was easy to pick my first pick. My first pick is Sarah Silverman as Rainn Robinson from Future's End, parts 1 and 2, so we have the Delaney rule in play. I really wish she had joined the crew and stuck around for the rest of Voyager. She was such an interesting, good character, and she sparred so well with Tom Paris. She would have been a super addition, and she's got all the science knowledge.
She would have been great, but then that would have been very Star Trek 4-ish, where they bring Dr. Gillian Taylor from the past into the future with them. So don't you think that would be very Star Trek 4 of them?
I do, and I think it's a great idea, and I still think it's really interesting.
It would have been great, because I do like Sarah Silverman. She's hilarious. So they could have set her up with little funny bits every now and again. And we always need someone to call Tuvok a Freakosaurus. That always needs to happen.
Can you imagine that being a meme through the rest of Voyager? Tuvok's a Freakosaurus. Whatever, Freakosaurus. Okay, Mr. Tuvok, Freakosaurus. I can totally picture her doing that time Tuvok gets in his Vulcan mode. I think if she had joined the crew, they would have continued this Tom Paris, Rain Robinson budding romance that we see in Future Xanos.
Oh, absolutely.
And that would have radically changed Tom and B'Elanna.
Absolutely, that would have continued.
Tom and B'Elanna would never have happened.
No.
Yeah. Well, they had such good chemistry
together.
Unless
there's some huge falling out with Rain and Tom. Which could happen. Or Rain...
Oh, I don't see that.
Or Rain gets killed.
They get along too well.
She could get killed.
Rain gets killed? Happen. You want to bring her on board and then kill her off?
They killed Joe Carey. Anybody can die.
That's true. If Joe Carey's not safe,
that's right. I'm still upset about Voyager. Joe Carey. I will always be upset about Joe Carey.
Right at the end, too. Yeah. It's nice they gave him a good death scene, though.
No. I want him to live.
So what would Rain Robinson have done on Voyager? Something science-y.
Astrometrics.
I could totally see her. Yeah, maybe she would be the one to spearhead astrometrics. Maybe once 7 of 9 comes on board, they would be astrometrics buddies down in astrometrics together. That could be.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
Astrometrics sisters in crime? No?
No.
You don't see it?
No.
Best buddies? No?
No.
Okay. You don't see 7 of 9 and Rain Robinson having girl talk down in astrometrics?
No. 7 of 9 doesn't do girl talk. Hello. It's 7 of 9. It's irrelevant.
Yeah, it seems like astrometrics is the natural fit for Rain Robinson. Would she join the crew? Would she have a uniform? Would she get a rank? Or what would she do? How would that work?
I don't know, because some people join the crew. Some people join the crew and they get a made-up rank, like Ambassador Neelix. And other people, like Kes, they join the crew and don't get a uniform, don't get a title. They just help out the doctor.
Remember the Next Generation episode, Disaster, when Picard is stuck in the turbo lift with all the kids and he makes one of the kids executive
officer? Oh, where they sing? I love that.
He makes one of the kids executive officer in charge of radishes.
Yes.
That's what would happen with Rain. She'd be the executive officer in charge of astrometrics with a little honorary pip.
Oh, so she's at the same rank as Harry now.
Yes.
She'll get promoted before he does.
I actually think there was some talk of Sarah Silverman joining Voyager that never materialized. I think I remember reading that. I didn't look it up because who has time to do that? But if memory serves, there was actually some discussion of her joining Voyager that didn't pan out. I think I just liked Rain Robinson's youthful optimism. She's a young scientist. She wants to make a great discovery. She's interested in the SETI project, that kind of thing. And it's like all of her dreams could come true. She could be on board a spaceship out there exploring the galaxy. And that would be amazing. It would be like Harry squared. Take Harry's youthful optimism and times that by 10. And that would be in Rain Robinson on Voyager, except she wouldn't want to get home. She'd be happy out there exploring the galaxy.
I think you just want to bring more of the 90s into Voyager. 90s styles and someone to talk with Tom about, the past and, yeah.
I was actually thinking about this the other day. You know what I miss about the 90s? I miss the optimism of the 90s. I miss how progressive the 90s were. We had internet technology booming. The economy was booming. Everyone was kind of optimistic. And it didn't seem like it at the time, but in retrospect, the 90s were a really optimistic time. I think that shows in Voyager. Voyager has that kind of optimism that is part of the culture of the 90s. And I miss that, frankly.
I think you can say that about any point of time in the past, and it's called nostalgia. And we always wax over it so lovingly, but we forget that there were bad things. There were. We just remember the good. Like some people are like, the 50s were such a great time, and the 60s and free love, and then the 70s and disco. Yeah.
Yeah, no, but the 70s were like, people were jaded in the 70s after Vietnam and after Watergate.
And then you go into the fabulous 80s. Yeah.
Oh, glitz and glam.
There's good parts about all of it, but there's also bad parts in every decade. We just don't tend to remember them.
Yeah, yeah. I just think there was an overall spirit of, things are moving forward in the 90s. And now I feel
Not
like we're
always.
Stagnant. No? Am I retconning the 90s?
You are. As much as I love the 90s.
So do you agree with my pick? Would you like to have seen Rain on Voyager?
Yes. Full time? For sure. Sarah Silverman? Awesome.
Okay. Yeah. I could totally see it.
She would have brought a lot of fun to Voyager.
And Voyager's already fun. Can't you picture Tom and her hanging out in the holodeck doing Captain Proton? You know, she'd play something in the Captain Proton program. It would be awesome.
Imagine her seeing the holodeck for the first time. That would be great. So Rain would actually be all of us on Voyager.
That's right. She would be the every person perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, everything would seem magical and interesting, just like Star Trek does to us.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're on the same page about Rain. Who's mm-hmm. your next pick for someone to join the Voyager crew full time?
Now, don't laugh at me.
Well, now that you said it.
But from the very first moment that Q brought William Riker on board, I wanted him to stay so bad. So bad.
To continue the theme of Next Generation characters joining Voyager. I could actually see that. So Riker gets stuck in the Delta Quadrant because Q brought him there, and he doesn't get back. Riker could play trombone while Harry plays his clarinet. Sure, so they could join the jazz band. Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so then you'd have to rename it. It couldn't be Harry and the Kimtones because, I'm sorry, Will is not going to take a Kimtones position.
It would be Will and Harry. That'd be the band, Will and Harry.
That's not a very good band name. That kind of sucks.
It's like Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young, but Will and Harry. Or Riker and Kim. No?
Yeah, I don't like that either.
It's not catchy enough.
No. It's yawn boring. Although with, you know, the clarinet and the trombone in there, that's not a good sound. They need somebody else in there.
It needs to be a trio.
Yeah. Somebody with a bugle.
A bugle?
I don't know.
Banjo Man to stay on board?
I'm sorry. If Banjo Man's on board, you need another banjo so they can have dueling banjos. And then it turns into something totally different.
I thought you were going to put Banjo Man on your list. Sorry.
No. Banjo Man is not on my list. Who's going to be in this trio with them? Somebody needs to be in this trio. We can't move on from this point.
Okay, you come up with who it is, and I'll help pick the name.
Why do I have to come up with who it is?
That just seems like the kind of thing you'd be good at.
No, because Janeway doesn't play an instrument. I don't see Tom being interested.
Does Tuvok play an instrument?
Tuvok! Does he play it like the Vulcan lute?
Right, exactly. Something like that.
That's not going to go well with those two instruments.
It's Vulcan human fusion. Vulcan jazz fusion.
So literally no one will go to their concerts is what you're saying.
Well, that depends on whether people like jazz and like Vulcan music.
Yeah, I don't know who else would be in this band.
Well, let's say it's Tuvok.
Okay.
That's the best candidate we've got so far. So we've got Riker. We've got Harry Kim and
Harry and
Mr.
Tuvok.
Vulcan. Tuvok. Riker, Kim, and Mr. Vulcan?
No. Why are you using the whole name?
I suck at this.
You could go by age. You could go by age and it would be TRK.
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 Like Run DMC.
Yeah, kind of, but without the run and no DMC.
So we'll run through the usual questions. So Riker's now on board. What's he going to do?
Anything
he can't
he
be
wants.
First officer. There's already a first officer. Anything he wants?
He can be anything he wants as long as he doesn't shave the beard.
Sounds like he gets to be anything you want.
I didn't say that. But I'm not denying it. Well, he could be in charge of first contact situations.
Oh, Riker would be great at that. He's great at first contact.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Because Riker knows how to schmooze. Absolutely.
He's very suave.
He can grease the wheels.
It's the beard. The beard helps, so he can't shave it.
What if they did something that there's no precedent for? What if they made Riker co-first officer?
Isn't that what you do in high school to make somebody not feel so bad?
You can be one too. It's okay.
You can be co-president with me. It's all right.
Well, they do that. I mean, they do that in business sometimes, like co-CEO, that kind of thing, right? They could have co-executive officer. CXO.
Oh,
that could be the name of the band, CXO.
But then you have to have Chakotay in it.
I don't think Chakotay plays anything.
No, he does sand paintings. He's very solitary to himself.
It's an interesting idea. You know, what do you do with it when you have Will Riker, you know, first officer from the Enterprise on board your ship now? You got to give him something to do. Co-first officer. Chakotay's like, great, I'd love a day off once in a while. In a way, this actually makes sense. This is a new idea. What if there were two, what if every role on a typical Federation starship was redundant? Co-captain, co-first officer, co-tactical officer.
Ooh,
that way people can have days off.
Co-captain.
Why not? Captain needs a day off. Someone else can sit in the chair and have all the authority of being captain.
What happens when the captain and the captain don't agree on a decision?
You have to call your co-admirals and ask them what to do.
But you're in the Delta Quadrant, so you have no co-admirals. So you're going to have to call Gullivec and he'll tell you what to do.
Gullivec the tiebreaker. I think it's an interesting idea because there is this real question. Like, you know, if your first officer needs a day off, there's no first officer on the bridge. If your tactical officer needs a day off, yeah, someone can fill the tactical role, but your tactical officer is not there.
Mm-hmm. Or they could just all work 12-hour shifts. So there's always a captain on the bridge and a first officer on the bridge and security, which means Harry never gets to run anything.
he'd never get to run the night shift.
Nope.
Poor Harry. There'd always be a captain on duty. A co-captain.
So you just made it impossible for Harry to move up even more than he could to begin with.
Oh, poor Harry. So yes, okay, that's what I'm doing with Riker. He's co-first officer.
Okay. Yeah, I'd still just have him in charge of first contact situations. So he's more of an ambassador. So Neelix never gets that title then.
Ambassador Riker.
Mm-hmm. I can see it.
I can too. He's a good negotiator. He is a good schmoozer. He's a people person. Absolutely. I actually think you're onto something here because I think Riker is better suited for being an ambassador than he even is at command. Riker's good at command, sure. But Riker's a little ill at ease being captain. Like when he gets promoted to captain unexpectedly, when Captain Picard gets assimilated by the Borg and becomes Locutus, he's not too comfortable taking over as captain. Now, he would have grown into it because that's how Riker is. He would grow into anything. He's adaptable that way. But the kind of the people element, you know, the schmoozing and the negotiating, he would be a great ambassador. It's such a good career path for him.
Well, yeah, but he wasn't comfortable being promoted to captain. He just saw his captain being assimilated. That's going to mess with you.
That's true. There are extenuating circumstances there.
He's got a little stuff to deal with and work through, so you can't hold that against him. But yes, on Voyager, he would definitely be Ambassador Riker.
Where Riker really seems to excel at command is the bravado that goes with command. Like when he was in command of the Hathaway in that episode of The Next Generation Peak Performance. Remember that line, Captain Riker's never lost? He's a little cocky when it comes to being in command. And that's part of his personality, and that's fine. But I actually think he'd be a better ambassador.
I was going to say, Riker's a little cocky about everything.
Yeah, it's part of his nature. Absolutely.
Definitely.
So would he be happy being an ambassador, even if he'd be good at it, or would he want to be co-first officer?
I think he'd be happy with being an ambassador. And I think he would appreciate, but respect Chakotay as first officer.
Oh yeah, Riker's okay with the chain of command. He would fit right in no matter what, absolutely. I don't think Riker would have an issue with anything. No.
Yeah, but I could see him definitely fitting in as Ambassador Riker. I don't know that Neelix would be too happy about it, but, you know, hey.
Riker could wine and dine and go to the parties and do some schmoozing, he'd be great at it. Absolutely.
Neelix is still morale officer. That's all that matters.
Well, Riker would make a great morale officer. You'd be surprised how far a hug goes with Geordi or Worf. You know, a hug would go pretty far with Chakotay or Tuvok.
I don't know. Now I really want to see a Riker-Worf hug. Because that would be epic. That would be the best thing ever. Just the
better
look
than
on
Riker,
Worf's face,
a Riker-Tuvok
like, oh my god. Yes. Better than a Riker-Tuvok. Because at least Tuvok would be, you know, stone-faced about it. Worf would just be like, ugh.
Do not hug me. Okay, so that's a great pick. I think it's fun to think about Riker being on Voyager, Ambassador Riker or otherwise. Or co-First Officer Riker, as the case may be.
So who do you have on your list next?
I might be totally predictable here. Maybe you can guess this. How about Libby from Non Sequitur?
Seriously?
What if she had bounced back to Voyager along with Harry? Yeah, absolutely. Why? Are you that cynical?
I see Libby as being there, not allowing Harry to grow as a person.
Oh, that could be. Yeah, she might actually hold Harry back. That could be.
Yeah. So you're stunting Harry's growth by throwing Libby in there.
Well, Harry would be a little too comfortable with Libby there. Yeah. Absolutely. He wouldn't have to push himself. That's exactly right. That's true.
See, I wasn't being cynical. I was looking out for Harry. Which is shocking, I know.
Yeah, looking out for Harry? Boy, how your tune has changed.
So if Libby was on board, what would she be doing?
What does Libby actually do? I can't remember off the top of my head.
I have no idea.
She's a musician.
If we go by the books, she becomes an agent for Starfleet Intelligence.
You always want to do that. I don't need her to be an agent for anybody. No.
But
no,
that's
no.
What happens.
Ordinary Libby, not Secret Agent Libby.
But that's what she becomes. She becomes Secret Agent Libby.
In the books.
In the books.
Not,
so read the books.
I don't want Libby to be a secret agent. No. No, no, no. What does Ordinary Libby do?
The novels also state she's a musician.
A professional musician?
Yes.
So she could be the third person to join the trio.
So no, it's RKL.
It would be like Fleetwood Mac.
It's RKL.
Yeah, it would be, and they would have all the drama of Fleetwood Mac.
What, you see Riker making moves on Libby?
Yeah, it's Riker.
To go back to Riker for a moment, what is that going to do with his relationship with Troy? All of a sudden, he's just poof, gone.
Presumably, their Imzadi empathic connection doesn't extend across the galaxy.
Now I really feel bad for Troy. Oh, man. And she doesn't even know where he went. He just poof, gone.
No, poof, gone. Just one day, like off the ship, just poof, where'd Riker go?
Oh, I'm heartbroken.
Oh.
This is awful. I'm rethinking my choice now. This is so bad. Okay, back to Libby.
Yes, the trio of musicians is now Riker and Harry and Libby. And their biggest hit would be You Can Warp Your Own Way.
Wow, really? Dude.
That's terrible. You can warp your own way.
That is awful.
Warp your own way.
Yeah, that's awful. That is so bad.
No? Okay. I'm reaching, I admit. I think it would be interesting, though, because I think if she were on Voyager, she would do music. And she would probably do music with Harry. And she would be in the band. I don't know what they would call it. I don't know if Riker would be there or not. But yeah, absolutely. I think if she were on board, she would be, you know, she'd be the lounge singer every Friday night in the mess hall.
Okay, so say Harry and Riker have this band already set up. So she's going to come in and Yoko up the band?
Yes, essentially. I'm not sure how it would play out, but Riker and Harry and Libby in a band can't be a good mix.
I don't even know what instrument she plays.
Is it something orchestral? Is it a French horn? Is it a...
Unfortunately, Memory Alpha doesn't tell me.
Maybe she plays the timpani and she can be the drummer.
I'm going to go with the triangle. She's a professional triangle player.
So she gets to stand there and just ding her triangle once in a while.
Ding.
Keep in time with the triangle. So you didn't seem too impressed with my pick here.
Well, I don't see being a musician on Voyager as being much of a job. How does that help out Voyager?
You're saying you can't be a full-time musician on a Voyager. That's not productive enough. She would have to have something else to do.
That's not pulling her weight. She needs to do something.
You know, if you don't have actual Starfleet skills, does that automatically put you in the kitchen with Neelix? Does that put you in the food service industry like it does in the real world? Starving musician?
Kes doesn't have Starfleet skills, and she didn't end up in the kitchen with Neelix. She found
something to do. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
She had an aptitude for it, and she was interested in it. Yeah.
She created the aeroponics bay. She's helping out the doctor. So she's got two jobs. So she's killing it right now.
Actually, can't you picture Libby and the doctor doing a duet in an opera? It would be interesting. I could see lots of possibilities with the doctor's interest in music and with the Harry Kim and the Kim Tones. She would find something musical to do, but I don't know what else she would do.
I don't know. Maybe she could help out in aeroponics. Hang out with Kes. Or check on the plants when Kes is, you know, doing her sick bay duties.
Or we could do it your way. She's Secret Agent Libby. What would Secret Agent Libby do?
She would flush out Seska.
You go right back to Seska a lot, I've noticed, by the way, Suzanne. You're always going back to Seska. We got to get Seska back in there.
I loved Seska.
I can tell because you're always like, amazing. They can flesh out Seska or they can do something with Seska.
She was the perfect villain and I so wanted her to stick around more. Martha Hackett really owned that role.
So Libby is a good secret agent. She's not like a spy. She's a good secret agent. So she would flesh out Seska. Yes. She wouldn't join Seska.
No, she wouldn't join Seska because then Harry would be mad. She's as innocent and naive as Harry is, except she's a secret agent.
Okay, well, I can tell you're more excited about Secret Agent Libby joining Voyager than ordinary run-of-the-mill musician Libby joining Voyager. Okay, so if you're not too impressed with Libby, what else do you have? What you got?
Well, next on my list would be Quinn.
Oh, yeah, I almost picked Quinn, sure. Mm-hmm.
Because, I'm sorry, why did he have to kill himself? I mean, I know that was his whole plan in the first place, but wouldn't it have been more interesting to have a former Q integrated into the Voyager crew?
A Q who's not as annoying as Q.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, it didn't work well when Q tried to join the crew and when Q became human in the Next Generation. That didn't work
well. Well, no, because he was naked. So I think he started off wrong.
You do not want a naked Q firing torpedoes. Okay.
You don't start off naked. Have some clothes on. Have some dignity, dude.
Quinn's a little more modest, so.
Yes. But with all the knowledge that he had as a Q, that would have been phenomenal to have him on Voyager.
The problem with that, though, is that it's too easy to have the answer to every situation because Q, or Quinn, could always go, well, here's what you do. Blah, 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 blah. And he's probably right because he's omniscient.
Do you think he would have had all of the answers?
Oh, so when he's no longer... Wait. Yeah, if he's still a Q, right?
But he's no longer a Q. I don't think he could tap into all the knowledge. He only has so much in his mind.
So Quinn's puny human brain can't hold all of his omniscience that he had when he was a Q?
No, I see him having, like, glimmers of things, but not everything. So he'll have some knowledge, but not the vast font of knowledge that he had as a Q.
Okay, sure. What would he do?
Science officer.
Same question. Science officer. That makes sense, sure.
Hands down, science officer.
There's no professional philosopher in the 24th century on a starship?
Not that's going to help out Voyager, no. Now, if you he's need their an greatest actual philosopher? Practical job. You need a practical job.
Tell me about it, being a philosopher myself, sure. Being
get a
professional
a real job,
philosopher
Zach.
Doesn't work out so well. Yeah. Okay, so Quinn can't be a professional philosopher. That's too bad.
He can do it on the side.
Even in the 24th century. Wow, no progress whatsoever. But Libby can be a professional musician, sure. I think Quinn would have got annoying after a while. I mean, he's not annoying in the same way Hugh is annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see it. You'd really want to have Quinn on there every week? They'd have to tone him down a little bit. Like, he'd have to get over having been a Q.
Well, I mean, he couldn't, you know, snap his fingers and make things happen anymore.
You think he'd do it out of habit once in a while? Oh, man, it doesn't work
anymore.
I think
he might just forgetting it doesn't work. He's like, oh, damn.
I don't think he would be on my list at all, honestly. Like, I'm glad when he... One episode with Quinn was enough for me. So I'm curious what you're going to think of my next pick, Suzanne. My next pick is Gutana Retz from Blink of an Eye.
That would have been pretty cool because he's a great actor. So I would have liked to have seen him interact more with our crew, but...
And he seemed right at home on Voyager, even though it was a shock to his system to change time frames and lose everything in his world because time is moving at a different rate. And he seems to fit right in. He adjusts pretty well. I think he would find something to do and be a perfectly functioning
Definitely.
Member of the crew in like a week.
In a week.
Yeah, not like a month or 6 months. Like he'd, you know, a little adjustment, but no problem.
Well, yeah, because he could have the doctor to talk to about his time on the planet.
They can compare sports statistics. Sure.
Yes. That would have been very interesting. Yeah.
I could see him being a helmsman, actually. He could fill in for Tom on his days off.
I was thinking more security and filling in for Tuvok.
Why security?
I don't know. I just see him there.
See, I kind of pictured him, you know, he's the kind of guy who straps himself to a rocket to go, you know, find out what the skyship is, right? He's an astronaut.
Well, that's exactly what he did.
Yeah, so he goes Mach 2 with his hair on fire, right? So I could picture him flying the ship. That was my thinking.
Okay. Okay, so if he's a helmsman like Tom, do you see them collaborating together to build the Delta Flyer 2?
Or racing it inside Drive.
That would have been great, but then Tom and B'Elanna wouldn't have been on the ship together.
Yeah, it would be a different episode, but I could see it.
That would have put off their little honeymoon type thing.
Well, Tom's got Rainn Robinson, so it's all good.
Oh, back to Rainn. Oh, poor B'Elanna.
I know.
Maybe she could have Daniel Day-Kim.
Okay.
Okay, so B'Elanna is now hooked up with Daniel Day-Kim.
Sure, why not? All the math works out, sure.
Score for B'Elanna.
Everyone's got someone. Okay, sure. We don't learn a whole lot about Gutana Retz. I just thought he was a nice character who seemed to fit in with the Voyager crew pretty well. He seemed to have this emotional connection with the Voyager from having grown up thinking about the skyship.
Mm-hmm.
I think it would just be a natural fit. Nothing in particular. It's just a good fit.
It would have been a good fit. Yeah, I agree.
Do you have more on your list? Do you have any more?
I do have more. Do you have any
What
more?
Do you have?
I have to go with the obvious. The obvious being Tuvix.
Does Tuvix count?
He was only on one episode.
So you would keep Tuvix and get rid of Neelix and Tuvok in this situation.
I would.
Kind of by definition.
I would.
Yeah. You really want that to happen? This is, you know, you have to really want this, Suzanne. This is, you can't halfway this.
In some way, yes, and in some way, no.
Yeah, think about how much Voyager we would lose if we did that.
But it would be nice to think about. I really would have liked to have stayed maybe a few episodes before the
Yeah,
reversed.
I could see that, absolutely. Draw it out a little bit, sure.
Yeah. I would go a few episodes to fix, and then we'd split.
I didn't realize we could do like halfway picks where we can keep someone for a while, but
no, that's the
really.
Only one that's allowed. That's the only one that's
okay.
allowed.
Sounds like you want Libby to be like that. sure, stick around for a while, play some music, and then kill her off.
Everybody has to die sometime.
So I have another one on my list that I wasn't sure really counted. How about Lindsay Ballard?
Oh.
I don't know if she counts because she was on Voyager all the time. We just didn't know about her, right, in universe.
Yeah, she was hiding.
So does she count? Can we... I don't know. I wasn't sure whether I should put her on the list or not.
I don't know.
I thought she was a great friend for Harry.
Mm-hmm.
Good fit with the Voyager crew. I think she fit in remarkably well, considering we never saw her before.
Yeah.
She did a great job fitting in with the crew.
But she did seem happier when she made the decision to go off. So would you really change that?
Well, it depends. It depends. If she were really happy being back with the Voyager crew, that would be one thing. If she wasn't really happy there and she wants to go be the new version, the new her, the new Lindsay, then so be it.
Okay, so to go back to my original question about if it's okay that this person was on more than one episode.
Mm-hmm.
Dinara Pell.
Oh, yeah, sure, absolutely. I want
Dinara Pell to stay.
I'm really surprised I didn't think to add Dinara Pell. Now that you say it, it sounds obvious. That is an obvious pick, and I totally agree. Dinara Pell should have stayed.
Yes.
Holographic body Dinara Pell or real Dinara Pell?
Either one. As long as Dr. Dinara Pell is on board, I am happy.
What if it were just the holograph version of her, and the whole time in Voyager, her real body's like hanging out in sickbay for 5 years?
That's just sad.
I know. I'm just trying to think of some way to make it interesting, you know.
But then perhaps when they meet up with the think tank people, they could heal her because they got rid of the phage.
Okay, so we have holographic Dinara Pell for a while until mm-hmm. we get the think tank, and then they mm-hmm. cure her. What do they ask in return for their think tank services? Mm-hmm. That's how they roll.
Libby. They want Libby.
Oh, we love her piano / timpani / flute playing / whatever she does.
/ triangle.
/ triangle, yes. I can picture Jason Alexander. We're intrigued by her triangle playing.
And maybe she wants to go with them, so that's how we lose Libby, by healing Dinara Pell.
Okay, I'm glad that makes you happy, Suzanne. I'm happy you're happy.
Harry's moved on at this point anyway, so what does it matter?
So if Dinara Pell had stuck on board,
mm-hmm.
what would she do? She'd be a doctor, so she would be working in sickbay, clearly.
Yes,
much is clear. The doctor and she made such a good pair, they would absolutely they continue to be a pair. And that would be just good for the doctor's character. Absolutely.
That would be
such
so
a great
delightful.
Fit. Yeah, absolutely. It would be charming. They would be so the cutest couple on Voyager.
I know. That's why I picked her.
We're always like, we're such shippers. We're like, ooh, what a cute couple. They would be the cutest couple in the Delta Quadrant. Absolutely.
They would be. Hands down. And yes, that was my main reason for picking her.
And we wouldn't need holographic Krell Maset because we'd have another doctor.
No! We wouldn't need Krell Maset because Dinara could take care of it.
She's good at exobiology. Yeah, absolutely. She is exobiological. So, other than working in sickbay, other than mm-hmm. being paired up with a doctor, those two things are obvious. I think she's such a good character. Mm-hmm. They would use her a lot in the show.
They would. I mean, I don't think she needs another job.
No, 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 but...
I could see her having a friendship with Captain Janeway.
Yeah, I could see that. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They could have morning coffee.
Little croissants and dish about things. Just someone else for the captain to confide in. Because honestly, she needed
that. I absolutely see that. Yeah, just not a best friend maybe, but a new best friend for Captain Janeway. Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see that. I absolutely see that. So that's a great pick. I'm actually disappointed in myself that I didn't think of that.
Ha ha ha.
Because that's so much a better pick than my next pick.
My next pick
is Amelia Earhart.
I didn't even think of her. Oh my gosh. Sharon Lawrence. Having her on the show would have been amazing.
I actually found her portrayal of Amelia Earhart a little grating. So that's why she's last time. I know. I'm speaking heretically here. I know. She was fine. I I don't think I would like that portrayal of Amelia Earhart on Voyager all the time. But I like the idea of Amelia Earhart being on Voyager. I think that's a cool idea.
I like the idea of Sharon Lawrence being on Voyager all the time because she's amazing. I adore her. And I thought her portrayal of Amelia Earhart was very good. So I don't know what you're talking about.
It's actually similar to having Rayne Robinson on board. You know, someone from the past who's interested in exploration, interested in pushing the frontiers of technology, whether it's aviation or astronomy in Rayne Robinson's case. But taking someone from the past who is optimistic and forward-looking and throwing them into the future that they helped create. That's an interesting idea.
However, I don't see Amelia Earhart going without Fred.
Well, Fred can come along, sure. Fred's going to go where she goes. If she stays on board, Fred's coming too.
I don't really want Fred to come along. Let's be honest.
You found Fred kind of annoying, I can tell.
He was annoying and boring, and it was just like, eh, yeah. But I know he's going to go where she's going to go.
Pretty much.
Kind of like your friend's annoying best friend. They're always there. It's, yeah.
Sure.
Just something you got to deal with.
So what would Fred do on Voyager?
Stay on the lower deck so I never have to see him. I could see him hanging out with Tom.
No, I actually see him working in engineering.
With B'Elanna? I don't see her putting up with Fred.
Oh, maybe not. You're right. That's pretty
maybe
volatile.
On her off shift. Yeah. He would be working when she's not there. So she never has to deal with him. Yeah, so now I'm rethinking Amelia Earhart because Fred comes along. So I'm like, eh.
Yeah, you're right. Where she goes, he goes.
That's a hard no for me.
What about the other 37s? What if all the 37s had stayed on board?
They never came on board, did they?
Well, not stayed on board. What if they had come on board and then stayed on board?
The samurai would have been kind of cool.
Wouldn't it be cool to have a samurai in Voyager?
Why not? You know, the original series had Sulu, who was a fencer. Why can't Voyager have a samurai? Not that they're even remotely the same thing, but still. I'm going with a sword and a sword.
I can actually kind of picture the farmer working in aeroponics.
Yeah. Although he'd be confused as to what aeroponics is.
Oh, yeah. No, he'd have to get up to speed, sure.
Like, where's the soil?
Where's the dirt?
So I have three more.
I don't have any more, so.
You don't have any more. Would you like one of mine? Because I think you should have chosen one of mine.
Hit me with it.
Nos.
I thought about Nos. I really did. I didn't see her having anything to do on Voyager, so I didn't pick her.
She's got plenty to do.
I did think about Nos. I would love to have had Nos. I thought she was a great character. I thought she was a great match for Tuvok. I love Nos as a character. You know I love Nos as a character.
That's why I was like, I'm not going to write this down, but I should.
Rejected her from my list. So, okay, let's run with it. So we have Nos on Voyager. Mm-hmm. What is Nos's job?
Supply runs.
Supply manager.
Yes, because Voyager is always in need of supplies. So who's going to go out and get them?
Well, Neelix played that role for a while. He's the finder of things, too.
But we've moved past his area of expertise. And
that's
we're
true.
Into Nos's area.
Okay, so she's the supply manager.
Yeah.
She is friends / romantically involved with Tuvok. Mm-hmm. Because... obviously. Or they just drag it out. It could be that they don't ever actually get in a relationship and Tuvok is
never
okay with
it. And they're just friends.
And they're just friends, but with the, you know, predictable, you know, sitcom type, you know, tension between the two of them for years.
The tension, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I could see them doing that as well with Tuvok. Okay, you've convinced me that I should have taken Nos more seriously as a candidate to stay on board. I did have her on my list, and I literally had her on my list, and I scratched her off the list. Like, no.
Because
I was trying to keep my list kind of short. Your list is longer than my list, so.
My Schwartz is bigger than yours.
Yes. So you had Nos. You said you had a couple more on your list.
I do have two more. And I know I've talked about this one before, being One, the drone.
One, the drone. Yes, that's a great pick. Absolutely. I could see One staying on board.
Yeah. I do love the way he sacrificed himself to save Voyager, but I really wanted him to stay.
Yeah, you would lose that emotional moment of him sacrificing himself.
He had so much to learn and also to teach everyone on Voyager.
And he was pretty authentically eager about learning everything. He wanted to know everything about everything.
He was a great character. So it would have been nice for him to stick around, at least for a little while.
His enthusiasm almost put Harry to shame.
And that's a lot of enthusiasm right there.
And he would have been in full Borg mode, right? They wouldn't have tried to de-Borgify him. It wouldn't be a de-Borg 29th century Borg. It would be just one in his fully fledged Borg regalia.
Yes, and the doctor would never get back his mobile emitter, which I know he would cry about. My last one is Marika from Survival Instinct. So the Borg that was no longer a Borg. So I would have liked to have seen Marika actually cured by the doctor and stay on Voyager. Instead of just staying on Voyager long enough to die, which we never saw her again after Survival Instinct.
Well, anyone who's been a Borg has quite a bit of knowledge about the Borg and about all the things the Borg have assimilated. Mm-hmm. So it would be very useful to have a former Borg, even whether it's one, the 29th century Borg, or a former drone.
Or Jean-Luc Picard.
Sure, absolutely. Same reason.
Yeah. But I was more going along the lines of just seeing her regain her Bajoran self and no longer being Borg, but embracing who she was and reintegrating with her Starfleet self.
I wonder what it would mean to a Bajoran, because the Bajorans are largely spiritual, religious people. Mm-hmm. They've got their, you know, worldview based on their relationship to the prophets. Mm-hmm. How would that tie into the Borg? Like, what would be the conceptual mashup between having been a Borg and what their spiritual beliefs are being a Bajoran? There's got to be some crossover here that would be interesting. I don't know what it would be, but it sounds really interesting.
Yeah, that's what I would have liked to have seen, is how she dealt with that and moved on and learned from her experience.
Okay, that's a really interesting pick. I would not have guessed that. I wouldn't have guessed in a million years that would have been on your list. But, well, Suzanne, it's been fun talking about it. This isn't the only thing we've been discussing here on Trek FM this past week. So here's a quick look at some of the other things you may have missed elsewhere on the network.
Previously on Trek.fm. To the journey!
Yeah, I don't see him being allowed to just mooch off of Voyager, which is what he'd be doing if he resigned his commission. Be like, okay, get out. We'll find the next planet and drop
So it's kind of an empty threat. I'm going to resign my commission. Like, fine, you want to go scrub the plasma manifolds? Knock yourself out. Someone has to do it. Might as well be you.
Warp 5.
DeLorean?
I'm terrible with names. Let me just tell you.
Just like Back to the Future, man. DeLorean.
Well, you've now you ruined son, it.
Yep, you see his son, the DeLorean. Doors open this way. No, so, but in
well,
that episode, we
ears.
See his son. He does.
Maybe he could fly. I don't know.
Now that should be the stinger.
Earl Grey.
Was that Jellicoe that went by?
What are you talking about?
Will you stop finding things in this episode that no one else sees?
The guy had gray hair and everything. I thought it was Jellicoe.
Oh yeah,
because
every guy
my
with
bad.
Gray hair is Jellicoe.
Like yeah, yeah. Like he's just visiting after coming by for chain of command.
He was stopping for a cup of tea.
He doesn't strike me as someone that drinks tea.
Melodic Trex.
Oh, okay. So how do we do this? I mean, wait a minute. Before we get into that, like, what about, like, the Tarantino Trek movie? Is that going to happen? Because I'm totally stoked for that.
Oh, yeah. Listen, he's done two movies already.
Whoa.
And... Captain Picard, wow, because
Batman is there. That'll be great. Well, I'm so very excited that we're going to be getting two Tarantino movies. That's just awesomeness. This is great. I love knowing about the future. You know what? We'll set up that interview with Jeff Russo. Let's get the next episode of Melodic Tracks back online, and let's make it happen.
We're making it happen, Brandon. Oh, but here's the best part. I have a copy of the interview right here, already mixed and ready to go. And you can put it online when I leave.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
Check out all of these shows and join the conversation about your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts. If you're an Apple user, be sure to hit the subscribe button in Apple Podcasts on your iPhone, iPad, Apple TV, or the desktop iTunes app to get the latest episodes as soon as they're published. And please leave us a star rating and a written review. If you're not an Apple user, we've got you covered as well. You can find our shows on Google Play Music, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Windows Phone, in most third-party podcast apps, And you can stream and download the MP3 file from our website or grab the RSS link as well.
We'd love to hear your thoughts on today's show, and there are many ways for you to do that. The best place to join in the larger conversation is the Babel Conference, our listeners-only group on Facebook. Just type Babel, that's B-A-B-E-L, into the search field on Facebook, and it should come right up. If you'd like to send us an email, you can use the form on our website at trekfm/contact. Choose Message to a Trek FM Show and select To the Journey. That will come right to us. You can also find the network on Twitter at Trek FM and on Facebook at facebook.com/TrekFM. Well, Zachary, when you're not sitting front row at one of Libby's musical performances, where can our listeners find you on Trek FM and around the interwebs?
I thought you were going to say I'd be looking through a telescope with Rain Robinson, but you got it wrong. Well, you can find me elsewhere on Trek.fm as co-host of Metatrek's Trek FM show on Star Trek and Philosophy, along with my co-host over there, Mike Morrison. You can always find me in the Babel Conference if you'd like to talk about Voyager with me in there, and you're welcome to follow me on Twitter. My handle is just my name, at Zachary Fruhling. That's Zachary, Z-A-C-H-A-R-Y, Fruhling, F-R-U-H-L-I-N-G. And how about you, Suzanne? When you're not busy requesting your quarters be reassigned to be right next to co-First Officer Rikers, where can our listeners find you on the interwebs and around the Trek FM network?
Well, you can find me occasionally popping up in the Babel Conference, or you can find me on Twitter. My handle is KJaneWay8. We do have a few people we would like to thank, the first off being C. Brian Jones, the founder and publisher of Trek.fm, who is our own former Q. Executive producers Matthew Rushing and Kenneth Tripp, Aaron Harvey, our art director, Richard Marquez, our production manager, and Brandon Shea Metella, our Patreon manager. Also a very big thank you and shout out to our associate producers, Bruce Lish, Jude Kim, Richard Marquez, Patrick Carlin, and Norman Lau. Thank you for your support of To the Journey and Trek FM.
Well, be sure to join us next time when we will be hauling a truckload of dirt down to aeroponics. But until then, this has been To the Journey.
Sorry, I recently watched Spaceballs again. So I can't.
You know, I probably have not seen that in 20 years.
How dare you, sir? I watch it once a year.
It's not something I go back to. Really?
At least once a year. Come on. Tim Russ is in Spaceballs.
That's right. I'd forgotten that.
How could you forget? We ain't found
shit. I hadn't thought about it in 20 years.
I love that movie. And I so wish they had made a sequel.
Oh, I'll tell you what. I'll watch it again when I get around to watching Alien.
Yay. Oh, well, that means never. Gee, thanks.
Yeah, I did buy it. I'll watch it one day.
Okay, one day. Yeah, that goes back to my whole Rick Moranis obsession.
You have a Rick Moranis obsession?
Oh my gosh, he is the perfect, perfect man. I love Rick Moranis.
You know what I love him in? It's just, he doesn't have a huge role in it. I love him in Ghostbusters.
He is very good in Ghostbusters, yes.
He plays such an interesting, like, Woody Allen kind of character in Ghostbusters.
Did you ever see Strange Brew?
No.
Oh, you have to see Strange Brew. The McKenzie brothers. Yeah. That started my love of Rick Moranis.
Interesting. I liked him in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids.
That was good. And Honey, I Blew Up the Kid.
I didn't see any of the sequels, actually. None
Dude.
Of them.
Dude! What about My Blue Heaven? Steve Martin.
Nope. Try it. Try again.
You're killing me. Rick Moranis is everything. Little Shop of Horrors.
You know, I've never actually seen it.
You are no longer my friend.
I'm sorry. I'm terrible at this. I'm telling you. You were playing the wrong game with me.
You are so awful. I can sing that entire show.
Interesting. This is the wrong game to play with me. Because I haven't seen...
Yeah. You haven't seen anything. You haven't even seen all of Jaws.
I've seen a remarkable number of things. I have a lot of movies in my iTunes collection. I don't know. Just not the ones you've seen.
Just because you have movies in your collection doesn't mean you've watched the movies.
Okay, that's a good point. There are quite a few that I've bought. Like, oh, I'll watch this someday.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. That's a good point. I'm sorry, are we podcasting? I have no idea what we're doing.
Yes, we are totally talking about Rick Moranis.
Okay.
I can't help it. I love him.
So you want Rick Moranis to join Voyager. That's what you're saying.
Oh, my God. If I could have had Rick Moranis on Voyager, it would have been It would have been absolute perfection. My mind would just still be reeling at this moment. Just Rick Moranis.
Okay, so you're going to invent a character for Rick Moranis right now.
Oh.
What would Rick Moranis do on Voyager, Suzanne?
I would totally have him take over for Neelix.
In the kitchen.
So Ethan Phillips never got the role, but Rick Moranis did.
Oh, he would be Neelix.
He would.
I thought you meant like... instead of Neelix. No, he would be Neelix.
He would be Neelix. And that would make me love Neelix. Which is kind of weird, but yeah.
You think they would change the name to something like Moranix?
They could.
No.
No.
No. Okay, Rick Moranis as Neelix. What would he have brought to the role of Neelix?
A little more alternate awkwardness.
Reality that you're inventing. I'm sure I didn't hear you.
He's a little more awkward than Neelix is now.
Okay.
So not as good with people. So he wouldn't be the morale officer. He wouldn't be the ambassador. He'd be
a little
just
more
awkward.
So it's Neelix meets Woody Allen.
Exactly.
Okay.
Except with no glasses. No glasses.
The glasses come with the character, right? You know, you take away Rick Moranis' glasses, you don't have Rick Moranis anymore.
That's true.
It's part of his... Yeah, right?
Even his dark helmet, he had the glasses.
So there has to be something that is Rick Moranis-ish. Even with the Neelix makeup.
Well, you can't disguise that voice for me, because I know that immediately. I don't know, I know, weird.
I can see him being all nervous and awkward about all the new food dishes that he cooks. Like, oh, you guys should try this. Maybe, just kind of being nervous and awkward about everything new that he tries to cook.
Well, he wouldn't be as loving with Kes either. He would be very standoffish. And possibly Kes would be the instigator in their relationship.
Okay.
So Kes is the pushy one instead of Neelix being the pushy one with their relationship.
Sure, I can see that. Well, Kes can be a little pushy sometimes, too.
Not so much with Neelix, though.
When she starts to get fed up with Neelix, she does.
Well, yeah. But if Rick Moranis was Neelix, do you think she would get fed up? No. There's no way.
She would just boss him around all the time?
She wouldn't boss him around, but she wouldn't get fed up. I mean, come on, it's Rick Moranis. You can't. He's just so cute. He's adorable. I want to squish him.
Wow, you really do like Rick Moranis.
I do.
All I didn't know we were opening the field of discussion to anyone we wanted to be on Voyager, but
I didn't know we were either.
But Rick Moranis is Neelix. That's an interesting mental mashup to try to picture.
Mm-hmm.
Because Neelix has some of those qualities.
He does. He does. He
the he's weirdness. Kinda, he's got the weirdness down.
He's and you kind of want to squeeze him sometimes. You know, just give him a little hug and squeeze.
I can picture Rick Moranis getting his ear hairs trimmed at the Voyager barber. Sure, I could. You know, there's plenty of stuff that Neelix
possibly.
Does
that I don't see Rick Moranis with the weird Neelix feet, though. I don't see that. No.
The Hobbit feet.
Yeah. No. That's a bad thing.
That would ruin your image of Rick Moranis forever. Is that what you're saying?
No. It would. Nothing can ever ruin my image of Rick Moranis.
Okay, to clarify this.
But he wouldn't be as adorable with those feet.